This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki.
Good afternoon and welcome to Wahine Atua for another week. How are you, Marcia and Fee?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, good, good, good. Obviously, we're pre-recording that because I'm off work this week. I'll be lying in a hospital bed at the moment somewhere in La La Land, hopefully.
Well, I hope somebody's peeling you a grape and mopping your brows.
I hope so. Somebody with a fan, if they could stand there and fan me for a while, that would be quite nice. But I don't think that will happen. I told a girlfriend today that she can come and visit me as long as she brings lots of chocolate. So.
Oh, well, if she's bringing you lots of chocolate, I'll come and save you from yourself.
Do. Come and visit me. Come and visit me up at Base Hospital. Hey, it was interesting. We were just saying beforehand that last week on Frankly Friday, I got to interview Glenn Rogers from South Taranaki Funeral Services. Mm. And it was really interesting to have a good chat with him. And one of the things we talked about was people, when you pre-plan your funeral, trying to get organised. And as I was just saying to you ladies, I found it really amusing because I'm a bit of a Timu queen. And when you go onto Timu and you see these titles of these planners and diaries called "Sorry, it's your problem now because I'm dead, gone, but I'm still telling you what to do."
I like that one.
If I'm dead, now what? The end of life planner and journal. There's one here that's called checked out for good end of life planner. it's really like, and I must admit, I was in Paper Plus in Stratford the other day, and there was another one there. Another one here, OS, so shit, I'm dead, now what? Sorry, it's your problem now. Dead, but I'm still a control freak. That should be my one.
Yes.
I think it's quite funny. And you think of all these books that are out, End of Life Planner, I'm Dead Now, It's Your Problem. That seems to be a recurrent theme, which made me think, and like we were saying, you know, like how organised are we all? Like, because let's face it, it's going to be a certainty, isn't it? We can't avoid it.
That's true. I think I was quite young when my dad died, and so was mum. I was only 21, 22. Mum was in her early 40s. Totally out of the blue, no preparation whatsoever. And we're like, we've no idea what he wants. You know, so we knew him fairly well. So, you know, I think we kind of a pint at the pub afterwards, you know, that was always a good one. But it's kind of like in recent times, I went back to the UK and sat with mum and worked out her will, and we did a power of attorney. And we sat down with other family members, and she's like, so, what do you want for your funeral, mum? You know, come on, what do you want? What songs do you want? And we had quite a laugh. Yeah. But we all sat down. There was my aunt, a couple of cousins, my mum, and just talking about it. Now we all know what each other's preferences are.
Yeah.
And some of it was like really bizarre. And I'm saying to mum, you know, you've got all these things. Oh, you're leaving the... I said to my cousin Claire, says, what are mums do you want? Come on, we'll write your name underneath it.
Yeah.
And she said, in all seriousness, there's just that really nice plate. My mum's like, seriously? And I'm like, give it an hour. No point waiting till you're dead. Let her have it now.
It's quite funny that you say that, Marcy, because my mum's similar. Like mum's 92 and I know she's getting older, and when my dad passed away, I learned a lot, and I some of it I don't want to go through with mum. I don't want to go through that because I learned a lot, and dad's, it's 10 years now since dad's passed, and I, as I've said before, I'm the youngest of 7 children, and you know, I'm firmly of the belief that I don't give an absolute brass razzo what's left, to be quite honest. I just want to follow what my mum wants, her wishes, because my dad had certain wishes and some of them were overridden by my siblings, even with my mum, you know, and made her feel guilty that she backed off dad's wishes because they enforced their own belief. And I am adamant that I do not want that to happen when my mum passes. I want to follow what she wants. If she wants to, In all honesty, have us all dance around naked around the maypole? I'm not quite sure whether that would happen, but
I'm not coming to that one.
no, I don't think that would be very pleasant. But if she wants to be cremated, I'm going to make sure she wants that. If she doesn't want a service because she doesn't, I will make sure that that happens. And even to the extent that, you go through that whole thought process of God, Mum lives with me in a little flat under my house, and I'm probably going to be the person who's with her in her final days. And it's that thing of, do I want to be able to, am I going to be okay to ring my siblings and go, actually, Mum passed away a couple of days ago. She's already been cremated. And it's that for me, it's that guilt of, is it okay to do that? But at the same time, it's what she wants, and she's made those wishes quite clear, not only to me, but her solicitor. But it got me thinking, and it was something Glenn said on Friday, which really stood out for me, and that was immediately like, do you want to be cremated or do you want to be buried? And he was saying, so many people think that they know, but don't let other people know that. Yeah, which I really was quite surprised about. Because my kids know what I want to have happen. They know that I want to be, I mean, personally, I want to be cremated, and they know exactly where I want my ashes scattered. And ideally, they'll be, in three different places, as it were.
Have you got it written down, Tracy?
I've got it written down actually with on my will. I actually wrote in my will what I wanted, and I have written in my will things like the enduring power of attorney. And also too, that's the other thing, like a lot of people don't realize what that actually means. That's something that I really surprised me that people don't know what that means, or they think if they've got that it's automatically they can step in and take control. And it's not about that. It's whether it's been evoked and actually been reinstated, isn't it? And but a lot of people think because they've got it, that gives them this power over somebody. And it doesn't, while they're still capable. It's only when they're not capable of
When
being.
somebody official has deemed that they're not
Absolutely.
capable.
Yeah, you're right. But a lot of people think it just means that they have it. And I know, like for me, I've said to the kids, look, I want to be cremated. I want to have some ashes taken up to the 16th Ave Theatre in Tauranga, which is where I grew up in there, and I want to be a theatre ghost so they can go and scatter some in the garden up there to terrify everybody. I want some of my ashes to go up where my dad is and scatter them there, and Mum will be there eventually too, and the rest of them, I want them to go and shake it to the wind at the beach, or shake it, just let it go. I don't want to be sitting on a mantelpiece in somebody's lounge. I don't want to have that. I want to be free. And as like Glenn was saying, it's a real personal thing
It
what
is.
you want to do,
It is. I mean, I don't want my ashes splitting. And I'm quite adamant about that. And I don't know why. It's just something
I just don't care.
You see, I quite, I, if I'm cremated, I want them all to be scattered together. So, I don't know. I haven't made my mind up what or where. But if there's permission to go and put them off the back of Chaddy's charter, I want them all to go together. I don't want. And then with things like our enduring power of attorney, we've not got a huge amount of family here. So it's deciding who. So we're quite clear on who for health and welfare. Well, the first point of call is each other. So it's me and Matthew can be
Absolutely.
the enduring power of attorney for each other, because it doesn't automatically go to your spouse.
No, it doesn't.
And that surprised me. So if so for health and welfare and finance, we're to each other, because there's two different types of enduring power of attorney. But then we were like, well, if it's not each other, then who? And my brother's older than me, so hopefully he'll be gone before
Before
me.
you,
For health and welfare, I've got family here in Taranaki. I'm more than happy for them to make the decisions, because I keep saying to them, I'm nurturing that great nephew of mine, because he's going to be the one decides which care home I go into. But it's the finance stuff. So we were like, well, do we really want that burden? Because that is a burden. to go to family. So we're kind of looking, is that a lawyer? Is that a trust? Is it somebody else? Because we've not got children, so we've not got people for that to go to. And to be honest, it shouldn't automatically be a child. It needs to be somebody you trust.
Yeah, I agree. And
And
it's
who
the
and
thing.
I'm really clear, I don't want it to be a burden for somebody. I don't want somebody to feel like, oh my God, am I going to make this decision? Or da da da.
Yeah, what about you? So you've obviously been through this recently with losing your mum recently.
Yeah, well, it made me think how disorganized I am and how incredibly organized she was, and made me think that actually my grandmother was incredibly organized. I mean, even down to on the back of all her artwork, etc., who it was going to and why. All the letters we'd ever sent
Sorry.
her were bundled up, ready to go back. My mum had a folder and she'd written her own eulogy. She had written her entire funeral service, which was very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Who was reading what? Even the song. So it was quite good because we actually carried her ashes out to "Staying Alive" by the Bee Gees.
Nice. I
Yeah,
love it.
you know where I get my warped sense of humor
Yeah,
from.
absolutely. Yeah.
And everything down was all there. And we've always talked about it. It's because, I mean, she lost her dad quite young, so I think that was sort of part of it. And being coming from a farming family, Southland family, the circle of life,
Yeah. Yeah.
you're born, you live, you die.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. I mean, we just hope that the live part is a long period of time, but you can't ignore the fact that we are going to die.
Yeah.
So we all were quite aware of what she wanted. And then I thought for myself, like I've had the conversation with my daughter. I don't care, you can do whatever you like. I'll be dead, but I do want to be an organ donor if there's anything left,
Yeah.
which I highly doubt there'll be anything useful. Then go for it. But then it's like, what stuff? Where does your stuff go? Who is your power of attorney? Like,
Yeah.
who are you going to trust? Like I'm an executor of a couple of people's wills, and it's not even necessary. They don't even like one of them doesn't even necessarily particularly like me, but they know I will respect their
Yeah.
wishes.
And
And that's
that's the
the
big thing.
yeah. It, you don't have to. It's like, oh, I don't agree necessarily with how you live, but will you respect what I want?
Yeah.
Do you know me well enough?
Yeah.
As we get older, I mean, our own siblings and things are not. Really, they could pop their clogs before us. So you are
Yeah.
looking at a power of attorney for someone who is younger, and then it's like, oh, can can you trust your child? Do they really want you alive? But there's so much,
It's
it's
a
a
big
really,
deal, eh? It's a big deal.
yeah, and we
As
kind of a lot of people are just like, oh, no, we can't talk about it. We can't talk about it. Well, it becomes a burden on other people. Because they don't know. I mean, I quite often have conversations with my daughter about, the organ donor, and that sort of stuff. Because those are things that happen before your will gets, pulled out and found.
Absolutely. And it's
it's time
important.
critical too.
Absolutely. And the thing is that you might say, I'm going to be an organ donor, but
And they
you're
can say no.
they can say no, and that's what happens. And I mean, as well as I do, ladies, I've been had my own daughter sitting on that organ list waiting for a liver. And there's been times where we've thought, oh, look, she's been that close, or she's about to have it done, and things are over the course of, she was a child when we went through the worst of it. But, all of a sudden, no, that's not going to happen. And it's just that you've got to make your family know that that's really what you really want to do, because they can overturn it. The other thing too, Fee, you'll remember, like when my kid's dad died, he had a solicitor as the it was one of the executors and a friend. And the estate, once he died, it turned into this, pardon the expression, but a
Mess.
shit fight, you could say, between his recently ex-partner and the fact that the girls, my girls and Mark's girls, are his only blood relatives. And they went through with the executives for the estate trying to fight this woman who was trying to claim a life insurance policy, which was worth a hell of a lot of money. And that the two of them just carried this on and carried this on. So the only ones who won out on anything, in all honesty,
Lawyer.
after his estate were the lawyers. And
Yeah.
then she did walk away with his other life insurance policy, because she ended up actually being the owner of it, being named as the owner, even though he had it in his will that the money was to go to his children. She
Yeah.
actually was named as an owner on the policy, which meant
I
that
guess
she.
that's something that you'll check. Hey,
Yeah,
Trudy, now we
absolutely.
all
Like
know
you
that.
do need to check. Like I never realized. So I mean, I'm talking. I think it was about an all. It was at least $600,000 went to the lawyers,
Yeah.
and what would
Wow.
have been a multi-million dollar estate, the girls walked away with about $15,000 each.
Yeah.
At 13 and
And what wouldn't
14.
have been what he wanted.
No, not at all. His ex-partner walked away with over $1 million. And funnily enough, her children ended up getting the same as what Mark's children got. And it was just like it was a real eye-opener to go through that. And I'm determined, I do not want my kids to go through that again. I
No.
don't want that to happen. And it's not even about the money. It's not about that. It's about
No.
the principle. It was never about the money. Like it didn't.
Well, you shouldn't be having those fights when you're grieving.
No, absolutely. It was horrific. And they, you know, here were these two young teenage girls who just lost their dad. And we were sitting there going, well, what's happening? You know, even with her trying to claim his body, and they'd split. You know, and it's even like it's quite bizarre, like what can happen. And the other thing, like I was saying to Glenn, which really was something because I'd never, like back then, I'd never been through death. Mum and dad were both alive. I'd been through death with a baby that I'd had, and that was quite different because it was a little newborn baby, and we'd gone through that. And it was,
Yeah.
you know, a lot of it was undertakers who were amazing who came in and helped, and Sands back then, and all those sorts of things. They were incredible, but to go through a death, and also to when somebody dies and they're not on the same island as you, let alone God help if they're overseas,
Yeah.
what you can do and what you can't do, and how much it actually is going to bloody cost. Like, you know, like I was saying to Glenn, what's the average cost of a funeral? And he said, you know, 12K is the average. You know, and that just absolutely floored me on Friday to hear that, because when my dad passed away, I think it was about 10,000, but that was 10 years ago, you know, and you know, that was 10 years ago. And
I think the biggest thing that we've got to do is talk about it
yes,
and
we
talk to
do.
people about what you want, what you
Yeah.
don't want. Probably more important, you say what you don't want.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. And
I mean,
actually sit
we've had the
down and have that combo,
discussion.
yeah.
Yeah, we've had the discussion with Mum. I mean, Mum's aging. She's here for 3 months of the year. We've got a plan if anything happens to her while she's here.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not just what happens to her if she dies, it's where is she?
That's the
Yeah.
point. Yeah. It's interesting, like mum and I have had that conversation too around what does she want? And my mum doesn't want a service. She wants just something very quiet,
And that's
maybe when
becoming
I
more and more. I've
yeah,
heard
and
of
that's the
that
thing, it
more
is
and
becoming
more.
more and more. And also people doing their own, you know, like actually you know, one of the things Glenn was saying too, you know, like you don't need to have a celebrant, you don't need to have anybody to come in and
You
leave
don't
us.
need a hearse. You
You
can pop.
don't
You can
need any of that.
literally pop them in the back of your your Demio.
Yeah.
It'd look a little bit odd, but you know, wait. Well,
Well,
I mean,
we're in a rural community. One of our elders in our community passed away some time ago, and her family took her down to the hall where the service was, and she got a favourite farm vehicle, and she was on a
gorgeous.
trailer being pulled by this farm vehicle. And then we had the service, and she went back in that farm vehicle to the cemetery. And it was beautiful.
I always think of Little Miss Sunshine and that gorgeous scene where the grandfather dies and they try and get his body in the car and then get it through. It's just a gorgeous, funny scene, eh? You sort of wonder,
Now, the
you
first
know?
time we went to a Tangi, a colleague of Matthew's passed away, and we went to Owaimarae.
Yeah.
So for us as relatively new New Zealanders, It was our first experience of visiting Emerai.
Wow. Okay.
And
Yep.
Owhai is a very special
Beautiful
place.
spot.
And he was quite a stalwart in the Waitara community. So we were blown away by the love, respect, manner, and
Yep.
everything. I knew enough to know I didn't know enough about the traditions that we were just about to walk into. So we went to see him before the funeral day, and so I spoke to a colleague and learnt about what the tea kangaroo, what we needed to do, so that we weren't totally blindsided or looked disrespectful. But it was absolutely beautiful, is all I can say. And he
I
looked
think
amazing. He looked
pākehā comes in a
amazing.
lot from Māori around
He
here.
was he'd been woven into his, well, I don't, I in my mind I want to call it a death suit, but I know that's not it. But he looked amazing. So you could smell the flax, which smelled absolutely amazing. And there was his face was still, you could see his face, and his wife and family were there. I mean, I didn't know Matthew did know him, and they were so pleased to see him. And I remember his wife saying to us, "Oh, you must feel like fish out of water in here." And we're like, "Don't matter, it's not about us. We're here to pay our respects." And the whole thing was in Tereo, but to be honest, we understood it. Well, I do. We found out one thing, that he loved karaoke, because they'd be talking in beautiful Tereo, and then karaoke would be the word. So, you know, but it was amazing, and it was just so uplifting. For want of a better word, it was so uplifting. And I said to Matthew, "I want that."
And it doesn't matter what it is that you want. It's because it's about you. I mean, like for my mum, she wanted no one to wear black. She said, "This is a celebration of my life." You know, she was in her 80s, you know, she was in her 87th year. She goes, you know, yes, sad, but you know, don't be sad for long, because you know, to celebrate my life, which is why she wrote a eulogy. It was hilarious. And to wear colour, celebrate, you know. And they are, a lot of things are that. I mean, of course, there are some tragic deaths, but I mean, we're all over 40, over a little over 40, us ladies. And so,
You're so
you know,
kind. A lot over 40,
should
myself.
have gone to speech service, is what I can say for now.
No, that's the dementia kicking in. But it's around that, you're celebrating those things that we've done that are, you know, but even though, yeah, it just, life is an amazing thing, and we should be celebrating it, and also and letting the taking that burden off the next people. You know, like I don't like my daughter. We talk. One of the things I realized, I need to clean out one of my sheds, and but well, she's just told me she's going to set fire to it when I die. You know, rather than let the fire go and throw it. But it's all those things. You know, we spend all this time accumulating stuff, and then you realize it's, you know, it's just going to be someone else's problem.
Well, and it's like, you know, when we moved from the UK, we got a lot of sentimental things, and one of the things that we had was a set of medals that were Matthew's grandfather's. Now he's got nobody to hand them to, so we
Oh,
took
that's
them back
sad.
to the regimental museum.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So the medals went home. They went back to his regiment, and that felt really good, because what was the point of us bringing them here?
And also, you know, if you pass, you know, then no one else will know what to do with them.
They'd end up in a
Op shop.
or on Trade Me, or because, you know, they'd be here and they'd be British war medals. They're not New Zealand war. So we just thought, well, what are we going to do with these things? Let's be realistic. So, like I say, we took them back to the regimental museum, and they're like, they'll always be on display. So if you come back to the UK for a holiday, you want to come and see these medals, they'll be in the drawer. You'll be able to find them and pull out a drawer and you'll see them.
That's
So,
quite funny you
actually.
said that you did that, because my great grandmother's side saddle's on the Auckland Museum on display, because she had one of
Oh,
the
that's
first
cool.
side saddles that was ever in New Zealand, and I feel quite proud that it's up there in Auckland Museum. It's been years since I've been up there and had a lot, but I do feel quite proud of that it has gone there. One of the other things I was going to say to you is about, you know, when, like, if, say for example, like if you don't choose a service, should you, And again, it's a personal thing I get, but if it was you ladies, do you want to have a service when you die, or do you, are you quite happy for them to throw you on a bonfire and away you go?
I want something.
Yeah.
I think, but I want it to be more Kiwi style than UK style
Yeah.
because, the services I've been to when I were in the UK were very quite formal and quite structured.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, I mean, that's 14 years ago. I've been here 14 years, you know, fashions change. But what I've always found here is, you know, I've been to two, three now in the community hall here, which that wouldn't really happen in the UK to be a church hall or a at the crematorium or so. And that was really nice because it was in the heart of somebody's community,
Yeah.
you know. And I know people who've had a small service at home, and I think lovely, why not? I'd love to think that I could write my own eulogy and record it and play it.
Well, maybe we should. Maybe that'll be episode part two.
I mean, I've been having conversations with my aunt. She's prepared her funeral. She's gone for her casket. It's a biodegradable casket, and she wants it buried in a place where there's no headstones, but they plant a tree on you.
You can do that down Whanganui way.
So, you know, that's what she's gone for, and she's picked her funeral music, everything. She's prepaid it,
I know
everything.
at Mapo down near Nelson, you can have those, I think they call them like
The
a
pods.
something other, the pod burial, where they basically just you get buried in a shroud of muslin and dropped foot first. So you're buried basically standing, and then they plant a tree on you. And I thought, you know, actually that's quite a nice, it is quite a nice thing. And I guess, you know, like that, to me it's returning to the earth. And I must admit, like one of the things when we talk funerals, I think one of the nationalities who do a bloody brilliant job is the Irish when somebody dies. I really do think that they do a really one
That's
of
just
the.
the party.
Yeah, it is. Because it's a celebration of life, though, isn't it? You know, like
And it's
it
normally
is. And we.
quite quick as well, you see,
Yeah,
because
it is. Yeah.
I remember when Matthew's mum passed, which is our most recent family passing. We had to wait 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Might have even been four,
Yeah, well, I know we've
which
had
is
a
normal.
colleague. Yeah, it's quite normal. And I guess it's that whole thing too, like, you know, do you want to be embalmed? Do you not want to be embalmed? Like, you know, and I must admit, there's a part of me who goes, Christ, I don't want anybody else to see me naked. It's a not a very pleasant sight. And you know, like it's that whole thing of, you know, even like when my dad passed, my daughters and myself with mum there, we actually dressed my dad. We actually bathed him and dressed him and did that before the undertaker actually arrived to pick him up. And dad wasn't embalmed because his funeral was 2 days after he'd passed, because he didn't want to be embalmed. But, you know, it was really cathartic to actually do that for him. Like I found it was a really good start to go through grief. To be able to sit there with a bowl of warm water and wash him and get him dressed in new jammies and then lift him off the bed where he was and put him on the cart. You know, my girls and I did that, and that's something I'll always be quite honoured that I had that chance to do that. Like,
Well, it's one of the last things you can do for them.
absolutely, yeah, it is.
But
It's a,
even what you're going to wear is,
yes,
you can have that. My mum had that all organised in a
yeah.
bag,
Isn't it
so
amazing?
she had a little bag, and it was because, you know, even obviously we knew it was going to be happening, but you can't think. But all we had to think
No.
was we had to get mum's. There was mum's box, and it had the folder,
And you
of
were
what's
ready
due
to
for her
go.
funeral, and her outfit was all ready, so we just had to hand that over. It was just so simple, and even in one folder was like, because most there were just some special things she wanted particular people, so she'd photographed them
It's so good.
and had a little say
And had it
who's
ready to
going to
go.
and why, because, you know, like the Irish crockery, because I mean I keep forgetting we've got Irish history, but why, you know, like why you're getting it, you
That's
know,
so good. So
and I thought,
good.
so useful, whereas, otherwise we'd be like, who wants this? Does this mean
Well,
anything?
I'm getting to a stage now where I'm thinking a friend of mine told me about this Swedish death cleaning, this
We're
book
going to
that
talk
you
about
get.
that next episode, Marcy. I'm going to hold you to that because we've actually run out of time. But let's pick
No,
that up. We will
again.
talk about that next week here on Wahine Atu. We'll find out all about that Swedish death cleaning and what you can do. You can start on my house here next week here on Wahine Atua.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.